kids, it's time to get some SML podcast all up in that.
What's up, everybody? This is the SML Podcast. I'm your host, Joe. Joining as usual, Cole, how are you doing?
I'm not here. I'm a figment of everybody's imagination.
No, I'm pretty sure you're here.
Ah, son of a bitch.
Not alone, though. Aki, Dark Mika, is joining us this week. Aki, how are you doing?
I'm still alive. It's fantastic.
You sound so excited and thrilled to be here.
Well, I also just learned that tomorrow I have more landscaping to do, which means another, like, 4 hours doing lots of manual labor. So,
yay, manual labor.
Hey, but at least, you know, I've done it, like, 6-7 days, and I get, like, I'm going to get, like, $500 at the end of all this to put
Jesus Christ, Cole, are you trying to kill my computer?
I want to watch it all.
Are you seriously trying to, like, break my computer right now? You just dropped 99 individual biddies onto a cup that's already full from last episode.
Some of them are going to make it into the cup. Just probably not even half of them. That's all.
Oh my God! Oh,
there goes one bean flung out of the cup.
This is such a shit show for the people watching the stream.
I fucking love this.
That 99 cents well spent right there.
Actually, that reminds me.
Derail the show right off the bat.
Hey, you're lucky. I was holding in, wanting to derail it right when you started introducing us. I wanted to interrupt.
Look at the unicorns in the cup.
They're still falling.
At least some of them are getting in the cup. How many of them, but some of them.
Oh, my God. Oh, my Lord.
Well, the cup is now officially full, so
yeah, the cup has been full. We need something to wipe it out. I'm worried that somebody's sub. I'm just worried that someone's gonna sub and it's just going to miss to the side because it's been doing that lately.
Okay, so that's why. So I was like, I knew we had a number of subs, but we always had a full cup, so I was like, I don't know.
Yeah, they just whiff. Oh my God, they finally stopped falling.
I'm so happy.
Oh, my and Lord. Like, even my video was stuttering on the stream. Oh, my God. Jeez. So, how are you two doing today?
Do it again.
Oh, my Lord, no.
That was fantastic. Oh, shit. That was good. That was good. Thank you, Cole.
There I go.
You got less than a dozen of them actually made it and stayed in the cup. That's sad.
Look at that one falling out all slow.
MP3 listeners are going to think, oh, what a waste of like the first 4 minutes of this show.
Actually, I have a question about that. On the YouTube, why don't you actually show what you see on Twitch? Why do you put it to just one static picture?
Because my computer would explode if I tried making the video of the full thing. Plus, I have editing and trimming. And Drop Dead Artemis just subbed. So, DDA, yeah, thank you so much for the sub.
Mr. Sinister.
Oh, it was a gift sub. Yeah. Mr. Sinister with the gift sub. I thought DDA was hanging out. Thank you, Mr. Sinister, for the gift sub. That looks like it's going to be a direct hit.
Just give it like 3 minutes. And it just hit and it bounced
up. It just bounced. It didn't even fly down and explode the cup. I don't know why.
This makes me sad. I wanted to see them go everywhere and just fry your computers. Oh, that's depressing.
Oh, man.
Maybe next time.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe next time. Maybe Mr. Sinister, like thank 10. You. Thank you again for the gift sub. It is always a pleasure having you here. And Cole, thank you for the biddies.
Welcome.
That's fun.
Yes. I think you should do it again, Cole.
Think so?
No, we have a show that we have to do. we have shit that we got to take care of.
Do we? Do we really, though?
Yeah. Oh,
well, that's unfortunate.
This is fantastic.
Ah, then Mr. Sinister did it too.
Oh no. Oh no.
They haven't even started on my end yet. Oh, my sweet baby Jesus.
Oh no. So Cole, you dropped another 51 biddies. Mr. Sinister dropped another 22. And then he just dropped another 30 individual. We could probably talk the news and they still won't be done falling. It's just a shower of bits on stream right now at like one frame per second. This is ridiculous. This is madness with the amount of biddies falling and completely missing the cup. This is such a shit show to watch right now. If you don't hang out in our chat during our live streams, you are missing out on some good stuff right now. I don't even understand why they're going so far over to the side.
We need a bigger cup.
This is way funnier to me than it should be.
I don't know if I should keep this in the show or make this Patreon content.
Oh, shit. God, my eyes are watering.
Oh, my Lord. So, did you guys hear the GDC got canceled?
Yep. They're refunding everything but plane tickets, apparently.
Damn.
Some places are refunding plane tickets, too.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, some of the airplane people things are.
Oh, Jesus, more biddies.
Do it again!
23 no. more biddies. George... you haven't been addressing too many of the biddies, so let's get a long one going.
Dropping bits! All over your fucking face! Wet pancakes!
Wet pancakes indeed. Oh my Lord. Like, my computer is seriously going to blow up tonight. This episode is never going to air because my computer is going to blow up tonight.
What's even funnier is the bits didn't even reach the cup until after you had already played the whole thing.
The entire clip. That's how slow it's going. The entire clip played before the first bit actually hit the cup.
Oh, and there goes one of the unicorns.
Oh, my Lord. The bits have coronavirus. Jesus.
No.
No, but that's why GDC's canceled. This coronavirus situation is getting kind of scary, but E3 is determined to go on as scheduled.
Yeah, that's we'll see how that works out.
Yeah, I don't think that's really going to go anywhere, because, like, almost every one of the big-name people have pulled out. Or, in fact, I think every one of them has. I mean, hell, even CD Projekt Red, I think they pulled that out of it, and I think they were planning on going to the GDC, or G, whatever the fuck it is, I can't remember. The one that was just canceled, I think they were planning on going to that, and they pulled out of E3.
Did they pull out of E3? I didn't hear of too many people pulling out of E3 yet.
Yeah. Didn't Sony and Microsoft both pull out of it?
No, Sony
did, but Microsoft has not yet.
Yeah, Sony just doesn't go to E3.
I don't think, technically, I don't think Microsoft does either. Don't they have, like, a place right across the street or something that they do it just at the same time?
I have no clue. So
it's not technically really part of that, but is associated with it.
I have no clue.
Baby.
I don't know. Sony has a good month for them with PlayStation Now, though. I'm not sure if anyone heard of this lineup. But instead of just two or three games being added, there is a whole shitload of games being added to PlayStation Now for March, with Dead or Alive 5 Last Round, NASCAR Heat 3, Knights of Azure, Knights of Azure 2, Bride of the New Moon, Romance of the Three Kingdoms 13, Tokiden Kiwami, Tokiden 2, Warriors All-Stars, Wolfenstein 2, The New Colossus. And then through August 31st, they're also going to have Shadow of the Tomb Raider and Control.
Wow.
That is a hell of a lineup.
Yeah, it is.
That's the kind of lineup that people wanted with PlayStation Now when they do their monthly updates. They don't want two games that are going to leave in 3 months. They want a collection of games that are going to stick around and be a part of the service. And there's a lot of RPGs in that lineup.
I mean, they basically had to buckle down and start adding games like that if they were going to stay competitive.
Yeah.
I think that's one of the things, like, for all everybody hollers that PlayStation 1 this generation and everything, Microsoft has kept them on their toes.
Mm-hmm.
Xbox, you know, when Games with Gold was the thing, PlayStation was like, oh, fuck, now we have to give out all these games. And then, you know, Game Pass rolled around, and PlayStation's like, well, fuck, now we have to start putting better shit on our services. That has to be worth it. So, I mean, you know, PlayStation might have won this gen, but Xbox didn't pull any punches either.
No. I think a lot of people have a better opinion of Microsoft right now than they have of Sony, mainly because of how pro-consumer Microsoft has been with a lot of their decisions lately.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. We know where my allegiances lie, so.
Yeah, true.
I have no allegiance, so that's fine. I went from a PS2 to an X360s, and only because the PS3, by the time I got around to even thinking about getting it, they had discontinued the backwards compatible ones, the fully backwards compatible. And I was like, if I can't play my old PS1 and PS2 games on it, then and I have to make a completely new library, why not try something new? So I was like, fuck it, go to Xbox. And before that, before my PS2, I had an N64. I didn't even have a PlayStation 1, so... Like, I have no allegiance. I've had Sega, I've had Nintendo, I've had a lot of Nintendos, but yeah, I'm all over the fucking place.
Yeah, I have everything that releases. I'm probably going to hold off on a PS5 though. Like, I want to get it at launch because I'm supposed to have everything at launch because I'm the host of a podcast that talks about video games. But I don't think I'm going to do it this time. I think I'm going to wait a few months, see how they come out, see how the games show up and the library shapes up and all the features and whatever else, and see if there's actually games that I really want to play or not. And if there are, then I'll look into one. And if not, then maybe I'll just stick with the Series X.
I think there's been so little information about the PlayStation at this point that it's hard to be like, oh yeah, I'm gonna break my neck to go get one, unless you're already a diehard fan, because there's no evidence that you should.
Yeah.
And honestly, I don't think you need one anyways, Joe. After all, it's kind of our unofficial slogan, fuck Sony.
It's true. Okay. It's my official slogan. I don't know about the rest of y'all.
Talking about sucking a dick. That's all about PlayStation. I don't think you need to get a PS5 anyways right off the bat. I might get one because there's been rumors that it's completely 100% backwards compatible with all the PlayStation stuff.
There's no fucking way that's happening.
If it does, I might actually get one because I'm like, I can finally play my fucking PlayStation 1 games again. I've been waiting to play Legend of the Dragoon for so fucking long.
Yeah, if that's true and it plays everything that we've played across every generation of PlayStation, I'll buy one. Day one, I'll buy one. If it's going to be able to play my PS2 games, my PS3 games, if I could go buy some PS1 games and it plays those, if it'll play my PS4 games, if it'll play the new PS5 games, if it'll support PSVR, if it does all of that stuff, then yes, there's a reason to own it. But I really don't think it's going to be backward compatible with every single generation of PlayStation. I think people are just wishing in one hand, shit in the other, see which one fills first, I guess.
Yeah, I've heard rumors about that, but I think the only thing it's going to be backwards compatible with is maybe the 4. Yeah. If we're lucky, possibly the 3 as well, but I doubt it.
I doubt the 3. They couldn't make the PS3 stuff work on the PS4. Why would it work on PS5? PS3 with the cell processor was how goddamn hard to develop for.
Jesus.
I don't know. But Game Pass, they are getting some new additions to Game Pass as well. It's not just PlayStation now getting new stuff. This week on Game Pass, March 5th, we got NBA 2K20, and this is a big one, Train Sim World 2020.
Woo!
Yeah,
baby. I think that one has a ton of DLC for it too, doesn't it?
It does. Probably. It's like $6,000 for the DLC if you bought it all.
No, Lord.
I thought so, because I was pretty sure I'd seen that on Steam, and it was, like, fucking insane.
Mm-hmm.
Is all that DLC on Xbox, though?
I hope the hell not.
I don't know if it will be or not. I know David plays it, but I refuse to buy any DLC for that, so he's just out of luck.
I want to know how big that game's file size would be if you got all the DLC. Jesus Christ.
It doesn't mean the DLC has to be big. I mean, if you're just getting train skins and whatnot, that shit's going to be, small files.
But if it costs that much to get all of them, there has to be a ton of stuff there. If it's just skins, there has to be millions of them. That's a lot of fucking money.
I don't know. But next week, Game Pass is going to be insane. March 11th, Ori and the Will of the Wisps is launching direct to Game Pass, which I cannot wait for. March 12th, Piku Niku is, I believe, launching direct to Game Pass. And then March 13th, Piku Niku is like a little puzzle game, I think.
Ooh, I like puzzle
games.
It looks
cute. Like a little puzzle platformer, I think.
Ooh,
I didn't look up enough on it. It just looks cute, though.
I like cute things.
And then March 13th, State of Decay 2 Juggernaut Edition is releasing. And then the Bleeding Edge Beta is going on from the 13th through the 15th before its launch.
Man, that is a lot.
Yeah.
I'm excited for the Juggernaut Edition.
Well, you love your State of Decay 2.
I do. I am unapologetic about my love of State of Decay.
I need to get it.
I still haven't played it.
terrible people.
I won State of Decay 2 in a Twitter raffle. I still have yet to play it.
Jeez.
No excuse for you.
It's not all good news, though. A couple of games are leaving Game Pass. As usual, there's no explicit date mentioned, but I'm guessing by the middle of the month they'll be gone. Deus Ex Mankind Divided, Lich Spear Double Spear Edition, Shenmue, Shenmue 2, and Thimbleweed Park are all leaving Game Pass. So fire those up and play them while you can before they're gone for good, or use your discount and pick them up now.
I might have to get Thimbleweed Park. I don't know if I own that one or not.
It is good.
Yeah, I remember you reviewed it. I think it was.
Yeah, good stuff.
Did we say that Apocalypsis was leaving Game Pass for PC, too?
Is it?
Yeah, I had it installed. It's like, I don't know when it leaves. I'm assuming somewhere mid-month, probably.
Yeah.
But I had it installed on PC. Quest is
leaving PC as well.
Probably.
I don't pay as much attention to the PC lineup, honestly.
Yeah, it had an alert on it that it was like, oh, you know, make sure you finish this because it's leaving soon. And I was like, well, shit. And then I couldn't remember if it was, like, Play Anywhere, because I do own it, so if it's Play Anywhere...
Try playing it anywhere.
I haven't had time, because Two Point Hospital exists.
Which we'll get to eventually, but, Plants vs. Zombies Battle for Neighborville has been added to the EA Access Vault. That seemed pretty quick.
Yeah, it did.
That was a quick turnaround. Nervous. Why are you nervous?
Because if they added it that fast, maybe it didn't sell well. And then we might not see any more Plants vs. Zombies stuff in that movie.
Maybe. They didn't really promote that one that heavily. And the fact that it came out at $40, I think it... I don't know.
It was already in danger.
Yeah. They weren't behind it to begin with, I don't think.
No. And I am sad about it.
But now more people get to play it.
That's a plus.
Yeah. The Twitch Prime games for March were revealed with Bomber Crew, Whispers of a Machine, Mugsters, Fury, and Epistory Typing Chronicles being the free games for Twitch Prime members for March.
I know three of those games are fantastic.
Twitch usually has really good games.
Yeah.
They usually don't have stinkers. They have a great lineup of free stuff to give away.
Because they got that Amazon money to make it work.
Yeah, pretty much. Let's see what other news. Death Stranding will be hitting the PC on June 2nd from Sony and 505 Games. It will also have a Half-Life headcrab hat.
Okay.
I saw that. It looked really cool. It has a few other Portal things in it as well, but I don't remember what any of them are. That was just one of the three or four things.
That's cool that they're adding bonuses.
Oh, yeah. That new Steam game, the Alex Vance one, he's getting gloves in Death Stranding. That's like the VR gloves that she had.
Yeah. All right.
Those look pretty cool.
I haven't followed Half-Life, Alex?
Yeah, something like that.
I haven't been following it just because it's VR and I don't know. Despite having a PSVR, I'm not really too engaged with VR releases anymore. I don't know. It just nothing does it for me. I haven't seen anything release on PlayStation VR in a while where I'm like, oh my God, I need to try that. I need to play that. Everything just feels like such a gimmick anymore that I don't know.
Yeah, I don't keep in track of it because I'm photosensitive and I'm blind. So, yeah.
So I don't think you could do VR to begin with. But
probably not. No.
The Final Fantasy VII remake demo launched on PlayStation Network this week. So if you have a PS4, you could fire that up and check out the demo for Final Fantasy VII remake.
It looks so good.
The internet seems to be big fans.
Yeah, everyone seems to be pretty excited about it. I have not checked it out yet. I don't know, I haven't fired up the PS4 in quite some time.
and one of the NPCs, not one of the main ones either, one of the tertiary ones, is thirsty as fuck. I think someone told me her name was Jessie or something.
Yeah.
She is so thirsty for Cloud. It's insane. I love it.
Root Beer loves VR. I mean, I don't know. I don't know if like the honeymoon phase is over with VR for me where I don't know. Does anyone have any thoughts on VR? Like, am I alone in thinking that VR is kind of just now? It just doesn't do it for me.
I thought that since the get-go. So for me, VR is just an intermediary step between being able to put our whole brain into a video game. Once we hit that, I'll be good. Until then, everything is just a shitty gimmick. I'm just waiting for something good.
Oh, man. Yeah.
I'm a loser, what can I say?
It's okay. So are we. That's why we do this show.
This is true.
Yeah.
I thought we did it because none of us had any lives. Not necessarily because we were losers.
Yeah, a little column B.
Yeah,
I was to say, then again, you are the host and she is the co-host, so, I mean, guess I should have clued me in there a little bit, but you never know.
Well, you're fired.
Yeah.
Eh. Volunteer work anyways. I volunteer again. Problem solved.
Also, Prime, true VR killers playing in red and black, Virtual Boy.
My God.
Fuck yeah, man. Fucking Virtual Boy. Hideki Kamiya of Platinum Games was quoted in an interview when asked about the Xbox One version of Wonderful 101 Remastered as saying, quote, "The original engine for the game and the engine for Xbox One are very different, and it's not easy to port like the other systems. So as a result of that, unfortunately and regrettably, we had to relinquish the Xbox release." I call bullshit.
Everybody else seems to do it. You see indie devs with like one man show and they can do it.
Yeah.
They can do it with no goddamn budget on top of that.
They do it with the pennies they find in their couches.
Yeah. Fucking No Man's Sky had a team of 25 people and you see what they did with Xbox One. And then you look at Platinum Games that has like 200 people employed there and they can't get an Xbox One version of Wonderful 101 working. I call absolute bullshit. This is just pettiness by Platinum Games. I think it's pettiness over scale bound still. I think this is absolutely stupid that they're making Xbox gamers suffer because of a stupid, petty little squabble that they can't get over.
I think it's kind of sad that Scalebound never came out because that looked like a good game. I wanted that game.
Oh, me too. I
wanted that game so goddamn bad.
I still hope it comes back one day, but the fact that Platinum is being so shitty with Xbox gamers anymore, it's bullshit and they need to stop. Treat us like you treat the rest of gamers. We matter.
And I really don't understand when anyone says, oh, porting to this other system so hard. I'm like, motherfucker, they got Witcher 3 to fucking play on a goddamn Switch. Fuck you.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's really hard to believe the whole we can't port it thing these days.
Yeah. Like, that, the Switch is like, a tenth of as powerful as all these other things? They're still porting shit to it. Good shit. And that shit stays good even when ported 99% of the time.
No.
If they can fucking do that, you can fucking port it, you lazy bastard.
And where's Nintendo sticking up for Xbox here? Like, Cuphead and Ori are on the Switch, and we can't get anything from Nintendo like, hey, you can't give in a good word to Platinum. Like, hey, make sure they get Wonderful 101. If we're putting it on other systems, might as well take care of our friends at Xbox, as we say in our video about Cuphead. Our friends at Xbox.
Mm-hmm.
Fucking give us Wonderful 101, you assholes. Oh, man. Capcom has announced that DuckTales Remastered is back available for sale on Xbox 360, PS3, Wii U, and Steam, and a reminder that it is playable on the Xbox One.
Thank you.
So, DuckTales Remastered back on digital storefronts. I'm surprised they got it back on the Wii U.
Yeah. That is pretty impressive.
I forgot the Wii U shop was still active.
I thought that shit was closed years ago. Jesus.
Yeah. So, DuckTales is back. Darius the Snow says, I'm still after the physical version on Xbox. Yeah, DuckTales Remastered, the physical version and digital version have different achievement lists.
No. Really?
Yeah.
Hmm.
Yep.
Okay.
That's not normal.
And they install separately on the console, too. So you can have two DuckTales Remastereds on your console, because I have two DuckTales Remastereds on my console.
I'm not even a little surprised by this.
Yeah, I bought the physical not knowing that digital and physical had separate achievement lists. So that was just a happy surprise.
Okay.
Last bit of news I have is that the achievement list for Let's Sing Country, which we covered on this show 4 months ago, finally went live on Xbox, so you can finally see those achievements you were missing. If Jacob was here, we could make fun of him since he covered Let's Sing Country, and I don't know how many achievements he got.
Yeah, you asked me, I was like, fuck no.
Really? You don't like country?
I don't fucking like country.
I'm amazed.
That's stereotypical, Aki. Say you're sorry.
Hey, stereotypes are based on a bit of truth.
I don't appreciate it. Not one bit.
Not one bit. Okay.
Say you're sorry.
Dag nabbit.
Confound it.
No, man. So any news either of you want to talk about, or are you ready to dive into some reviews?
Did you guys ever talk about CDPR and Cyberpunk 2077 with how they're going to be giving you the game for free on the new Xbox if you buy it on the current one?
Yeah, we covered that like 2 weeks ago.
The show, Aki. Okay.
I had to go use the bathroom or eat or something. I came back and I asked if y'all had talked about it. No one answered me. Of course I'm full of excuses. It's what I'm good at, damn it.
Not good, though, because we're calling you on your bullshit.
Yeah, pretty much.
Hey, no, I was there that day for once. I've been making it to most of them, thank you very much, as of late.
Better than Carnage.
Wait, did he stop coming now, finally?
He misses him every now and then. He's too busy playing Gems of War.
Oy vey.
Just you like know, Cole's too busy playing Two Point Hospital.
I don't know what you're talking about. Oh, look, I got an achievement.
Did you really?
Jesus. Yeah, I did.
Nice. Any news you want to talk about, Cole, or are you ready for reviews?
2 Point Hospital's out.
Yeah, we'll get to that.
Okay.
You ready?
Uh-huh.
Aki, you ready?
No, but we're going to go anyways, aren't we? So,
yeah, we are. Man. Because the first game that we're going to talk about tonight is called Yakuza 0, developed by RGG Studio, published by Sega, released January 26th on Xbox One for $19.99, and launched direct to Xbox Game Pass. Sega's legendary Japanese series finally comes to Xbox One. Fight like hell through Tokyo, and Osaka's junior Yakuza Kiryu and Majima take a front row seat to 1980s life in Japan in an experience unlike anything else in video gaming. A legend is born. Which one of you wants to start?
Aki.
The one who actually played the game.
All right, Aki, tell us about Yakuza Zero. I did play the game.
Sure you did.
I just didn't like it.
Uh-oh.
We both gasped at that. Holy crap.
All right, Aki, tell us about Yakuza Zero.
Okay, well, you mostly play as Kiryu from the very beginning up until late in chapter 2, early chapter 3, I think. Because I actually haven't gotten to where you get the second character yet, even.
Didn't you say you put like 60 hours in this game?
Uh-huh, and I'm still in chapter 2.
Jesus.
Out of, I think,
It's like 140 some odd hours just to finish the story.
Holy hell. This is a big game.
I've also been doing the subquests is what most of my time has been spent doing, is all the damn subquests. but we'll talk about that in a minute. You play as Kiryu. He's a Yakuza. He and his quote-unquote brother, Nishima, both joined your orphans and higher-up guy in this Yakuza clan. Adopted you, so you followed in his footsteps. And Kiryu is not a smart boy. He is very not a smart boy. He is take a brick.
He's a dumb bitch.
And that brick is smarter than he is. So you're pretty much a bruiser when you're playing as him. I don't know about the other guy, sadly. I think he's supposed to actually be really smart, but psychopathic from what I remember. Anyways, your father figure has been put in jail. I don't remember why. I think he killed somebody or something, but I mean, Yazuka, of course. And three of the other higher ups that were beneath him are all vying for his position, and they're all unscrupulous assholes who are happy to backstab each other and you. And they decided to try and frame you for murder. In order to either get you sent off to jail, to be like a big fuck you to get you out of the way, or to turn you against the guy that you see as a father to get information out of him, to give to them, so they can take his spot. And Kiryu, again, not a smart boy, but apparently smart enough, he's like, fuck all of you. And no. So he leaves the Yazuka and decides, I'm going to clear my name.
Yaki, you're killing me here, Aki. Yeah. Yakuza.
Not Yazuka.
Yazuka. I like Yazuka more.
Yazuka.
I'm fucking flipping letters. I blame America.
You're less sexy. It's okay.
You have verbal dyslexia.
That wouldn't shock me. But yeah, so that's basically what it is. All the character does is pretty much he beats the hell out of people in the street. I don't remember the name of the place that you're in. There's only two cities that you go to. And
Tokyo,
one of them is
in Osaka.
I can't remember the names of the fucking places at all. I know the first one starts with a fucking K, but I can't remember it because I never really leave it because I haven't unlocked the other one, because you can go to a pier and then you can come back to that city and it'll tell you what the name of it is, and he talks about it when he's in conversations, but I can't remember the fucking name of it. Mostly because I don't know if I've actually heard him actually say the name. I think I've only read it. Because the cutscenes are split between two different types. Really good ones where everything moves, everyone talks, it's all fully voice acted, it's fantastic. And other ones where you constantly tap A to get through the dialogue. None of their mouths move. They might say a single word for each sentence. And they're meh.
Well, a lot of games have cutscenes like that, where there's more involved cutscenes for more involved bits of story, and then there's just, you know, portrait cutscenes for less important stuff.
Yeah,
you're going to spend a lot of time in Yakuza watching cutscenes.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's more than half.
You know, right there. Have you ever seen, like, Korean drama shows? Mm-hmm. It felt very much like watching a Korean drama.
That's and pretty much like, what this game is. It's a Japanese
drama, basically. And yeah. So, like, you're just gonna... It's
so good.
An occasionally interactive movie.
Yeah.
It's best to look at it as such. The actual gameplay is occasionally you'll get into sequences of combat. Like, you'll be trying to go from one mission to another, and you might bump into a group of thugs that you beat the shit out of. Combat is very minimal. You just heavily button mashed your way through it and then continue on like nothing fucking happened.
You haven't met Mr. Shakedown yet, have you?
I have.
Yeah, that's not button mashing no more. Once you meet
that's
him,
a different story.
You can't do that.
But I mean, for most of it, it's just like punch people, get money, go.
Yeah, get lots of money. Jesus.
The mini games and stuff are kind of where Yakuza shines the most, but God, they're so absurd and ridiculous that you're just like, this is the thing we're doing.
I don't think any of them were really all that absurd.
They were absurd. The girls' wrestling's absurd.
I haven't gotten to that
the
part yet.
The karaoke is absurd.
I disagree. I think that's fantastic.
It's funny. But it's just over the top. And that's what you should expect with Yakuza. Look, Aki's contagious. Yakuza. I mean, just that it somehow finds a way to be camp. Which
in the most perfect of ways.
I mean, I wouldn't go that far.
Well, you'd be wrong then.
There's a lot of Grand Theft Auto inspiration. I don't remember. I don't know what came first, Grand Theft Auto or Yakuza. But you can see like that kind of open world element is there, and you know, there's the whole subplots with the I want to call it a bathhouse for some reason. with the girls and whether or not you're actually running a proper establishment and all that. It's just...
Well, you're clearly not, but...
Yeah. It likes to try to convince you that you are, but you know damn good why you're not. And then you literally... There's a collectible porn trading cards.
Which are pretty nice.
They're actual Japanese porn stars on the cards.
I don't know if they're actually porn stars or if they're what the hell's the word?
They're as close as you can get to being porn stars in Japan. So it's just, it didn't appeal to me. I get why a lot of people enjoy the game. I get that the camp and the over the top sexuality and you know, ridiculous themes. A lot of people are into that. Same subset of people who are into Grand Theft Auto, and we all know how I fucking feel about that too. So, so I try not to let that color my opinion of whether or not it's a bad game or a good game. Objectively, I think it's a good game. subjectively, it wasn't for me. And that's okay. Not every game is. I was very impressed with the art, the cutscenes. You could fucking see like pimple pockmarks on people's faces. The detail was nuts. And it was really well done. And it's, I mean, when you look at it, you go, hey, no way this is a 5-year-old game. You know? I think it was 2015 this one came out. And either way, it was last gen. And you're like, there ain't no way. But it's really well done. There's so much detail in the world. It's just really, really pretty for what it is. It's just that it just doesn't appeal to me. Aki, on the other hand, she's just like, yeah, give me all the titty cards.
And that's not say that that's not true. Because here's also another thing. The cards are actual real pictures. They're not.
Well, I already said that. That they're people. Real. Yeah. Oh, they're real.
Yeah, you
did say that. Fucking listen to me, though.
I space out. It's not my fault you droned on and on. Also, you unlock the videos. Some video shoots, which are, again, she says they're porn stars. They're just women in bikinis doing suggestive poses. That's all it
that's
is.
That's pornography.
They're like in bathing suits. So, I mean, it focuses on their cleavage for like a bit more than even I'm comfortable with.
Yes, it's fan service.
And I just don't like fan service in games, any games, period. It annoys me. And that's fine. That's my stance on it. I know other people enjoy it. More power to them. It's just, if you're going to ask me for a review, how do you feel about that? I'm going to say, well, that's stupid. Let me go kick more people's. Spend less time animating jiggle physics and more time giving me some legitimate combat.
The jiggle physics in this game were kind of subpar.
Oh, Lord.
So was
the combat.
Yeah, the combat's pretty easy.
But I mean, it is an old game, and there's only so much that they can do with it, and that's fine. You realize that for the limitations of the platforms it was built on, yada, 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 yada.
The bright side is the series is finally on Xbox One. It's only $20. It's included in Game Pass. Mm-hmm. So I want to know, $20, what's your verdict?
I think, objectively, it's a buy it. It's good. It's well done. It's just not for me.
Aki?
I say it's totally worth it. However, there are a couple problems with it, especially if you have poor eyesight or if you're photosensitive. Mm-hmm. If you want to 100% the game, which, again, for all you achievement whores like me out there, you're going to want to, it's not going to do you... You're not gonna do it. Because if you're photosensitive, there's a disco minigame and you see the disco floor with all its flashing colors constantly changing the color and all that shit, and on top of that, they put an overlay of it that's see-through for you to move a picture of your character around, and then you have to tap buttons, and those are colored too, and they move really quick, and I had one while playing one of the early ones even. So yeah, if you're photosensitive, stay away from the disco minigame, as fun as it is.
Hey Aki, say what you said about the achievements again.
You're not going to be able 100% it if you're an achievement whore and you have bad eyesight.
True achievement says that two people already have completed it.
Well, as I said, if you have bad eyesight, it's like I'll never be able to beat the pool one, the batting one, or the karaoke one just because my eyesight's too bad to see what I'm doing properly in those. And I can't do the disco one because it'll give me a fucking seizure, which sucks because I really, really like the goddamn disco one and the karaoke one, and I'm fucking terrible at both of them. I'm like, oh, I love these, though. Yeah, but otherwise,
I had the best time watching David fumble with the karaoke, though. Like, he can't do rhythm shit like that at all. And it's not even, like, rhythmic. It's just you push the buttons as the thing scrolls across the screen. He couldn't do it. He was literally missing all but one or two a scene. And I was like, Jesus Christ, dude, how do you play anything?
I think a part of that is because the during those sequences, sometimes the bar suddenly, or the icon where you have to push on things, it starts moving at a different speed suddenly at the beginning of some lines. And that screws me up a lot. Because, like, there's three lines that it goes on. Yeah. And when it hits the bottom line, it goes back to the top one, if there's a top one, or the second one, if there is no top one. And when it hits the beginning of one of those, sometimes it'll suddenly speed up significantly or slow down significantly, and it fucks up your timing. Maybe. And I have enough trouble moving from the third one to the first one before it passes a note or two without it switching speeds on
me. Get good.
Yeah.
Get good.
Well, here, play, let me pull out your eyes and replace them with mine, and maybe I'll be good. I don't know.
No, I'm good. I have to read the next introduction, because the next game to talk about is called Murder by Numbers, developed by Mediatonic, published by the Irregular Corporation, released March 6th on Switch and Steam for $14.99. Solve pixel puzzles to find clues, use those clues to interrogate witnesses, work your way to the truth, and uncover the mystery of Murder by Numbers. Aki, tell us about this one.
Well, it's a pick-a-pix game mixed with a visual novel, and you play as a TV detective actress named Honor, and she is hot.
Jesus.
Hey, it's not my fault. They made her hot, okay? It just is what it is. She gets fired one day because reasons, and then she finds a robot that has amnesia. And he saw a fragment of her show as he was floating around, because he's hovering. And he's like, oh, detective, they can help me figure out my past and what I'm for and who made me and all this shit. And then immediately after meeting it, her best friend who owned, who was the showrunner for it, who fired her, dies. So she and the robot decide, hey, let's solve this so I don't go to jail, since I was just fired. That's a fantastic motive. And it's just, the entire game is about her just solving individual cases. There's four different cases. The first one obviously being her best friend being murdered after firing her. But after that, she has two more where she just happens to be in the wrong place at the wrong time. And the last one, the detective finally caves in and says, here, help me. Because during the very first case, you meet a senior detective named Cross, who's like the old man. He doesn't understand technology. He fucking hates technology. He's like, VCRs are too much fucking work. Like, and he doesn't want to listen to anybody, and all the police are trying to push him out and into retirement because he's just an old crotchety asshole. Like, every time he sees you doing something, he's like, fucking you again? Why? Get out of here. I don't want you here. I'm the detective. You're a nobody. Go the fuck away. And you never do, because fuck the police, I guess. In the end, he's finally like, fuck it. You know what? You're never going to fuck off, so just help me out, I guess. The hell with this. It's pretty funny. The entire game is just that kind of humor, just you irritating the police officer, and he's just being like, I hate you guys so much. Go away. Trying to protect you. Leave. Please. Stop interrupting my work. And they're just like, no.
My goodness.
Yeah, it's great. All the pick-a-pix parts are when the robot is scanning for things, because apparently he can't just look at something and say, hey, that's a toothbrush. He has to be like, oh, let's see what the hell this is, and then you figure it out, and he's like, oh, that's a toothbrush. I'm like, why did I have to solve a puzzle for you to figure out that's a fucking toothbrush?
Because
a toothbrush
gameplay.
Is a toothbrush, I guess. I guess that's true. But they start off pretty easily, but the difficulty ramps up significantly really, really fucking quick. It got so bad that I actually had to cheese the game in the last, like, half of the third level and all of the last case. I couldn't do it myself. I was like, And there's only four cases. And you might be thinking, well, that can't be too long. It took me almost 27 hours to complete this game. Wow. 100% to do all the cases. It gets really long. Cause some of these puzzles are really hard. Like they go from, I think it was a 5x5 was the first one. And then they immediately go to, I think, 10x10s. But at the end, you're like doing a 25x20 or something like that. And it's stupidly difficult. You will spend hours on some of these damn puzzles. And throughout the game, during all the cases, not only is the robot scanning for crap, but you also can talk to the other characters that are around to get more information, to learn stuff, and that allows you to find more crap, to question people more thoroughly, etc., etc., so you can eventually solve the crime. And there's no way for you to not solve the crime. You actually have to solve it. There is no, you chose the wrong person to do this crime. It's like, no, if you said this was the person who did it, and it ends up not that they didn't do it, you were going to have to say they did it regardless. It's a very straightforward, very narrow game. So you don't have really any choices. There are plenty of choices in the game that you can make when talking, but none of them really affect the game at all. When she tells the detective, this person did it. And he's like, why? And you get like a choice of three different options to choose from. And if you choose the wrong one, Cross just makes fun of you a little bit. And you say, oh, wait, no. I was just joshing with you. And then it brings you back to those three options. And you can choose another one until you get the right one. So no matter what, you will get the right one. And all the rest of the time you have options there for flavor text immediately following it. And then nothing more. It never comes back. So it's a very good, straightforward, mostly kinetic visual novel with nice little pick-a-picks puzzles. For $15, I highly suggest the game. I thought it was funnier than shit. The character wasn't bad to look at. And again, it's $15. You're going to put like 20 plus hours into it. The dollar per hour is amazing in this. So yeah, I'm all for it.
I know Purnell's going to be excited to hear that, because he actually asked about this one like 2 days after you got the Steam code for it. So you beat Purnell on this one.
Yeah. I'm not good at these types of puzzles. I'm better at Sudoku. So I really enjoyed this. This was fun. If it has a good story, I'm for it. And this story was fucking amazing. So goddamn funny.
Awesome.
So yeah.
All right. Well, we are going to let you get going. We got a couple more games to talk about. Thank you, as always, for being here. And you have yourself a wonderful day.
Yep. I think I'm going to go beat the shit out of another one of Mr. Shakedowns and Yakuza 0. Make a couple billion more yen in one fight, because I can. Most of the fights are like a few hundred thousand. I'm going to make 2 billion. Nice. And I don't know what I'm going to do with the money yet, but it'll be fun. Because I actually paused on a fight with one that had over 2 billion. So.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah, I'm immediately going to flip over and go and fight now.
All right, you have yourself a good one.
All right, see y'all later.
Bye.
Bye.
All right, moving on. We are going to start a new segment on the show, I guess.
Are we?
For at least the next month or so.
Is this a thing we're doing?
Yes.
Is this a thing?
This is a thing we're doing. It's called Bless ML Unleashed.
Oh, my God. It's so bad. Did Carnage come up with that?
Bless ML Unleashed. For the game Bless Unleashed. You see what I did there?
I seen it.
You see that? You see that?
I seen it.
So yeah, Bless Unleashed is a brand new MMO releasing on Xbox One. The full free-to-play release is going to be on March 12th, but is available for founders. Right now, they have three different founders packs available. Since this is an MMO, you can't really just review an MMO after a week or 2 weeks. So I figure we'll have kind of an ongoing chat about how our characters are doing for the next month, maybe 2 months. We'll keep this segment going, see how long we go with the game and how invested we get with the game. And Yeah, we'll start right now. How's that sound?
It sounds like a thing we're doing.
Like Bless ML Unleashed. I'm an asshole. I know. So yeah, Bless Unleashed, developed by NeoWiz Round 8 Studio, published by Bandai Namco, had a staggered release based on the founder's pack you purchased, whether $19.99, $39.99, or $79.99. The full free-to-play release is on March 12th on Xbox One. Journey across a vibrant, persistent world to take on and survive vicious, lethal monsters that inhabit this untamed landscape. Choose between one of five classic classes, each with its own combo-driven combat experience handcrafted for online play. Gather your party to explore and survive a richly detailed world of dangerous beasts and divine secrets. Cole, tell us about your time in Bless Unleashed so far.
I didn't get murdered yet.
That's good.
I'm super happy about my lack of death.
You haven't died at all yet?
No, but I also think it has something to do that we got cool shit because we have Founders Pack. It was, kind of cheating. I'm not mad about it. My elf with her bow looks super badass.
Oh, you are a ranger?
Oh, yeah. I always go for ranged weapons. It's funny because when I started Bless Unleashed, I was like, I'm going to take a monster hunter approach to it. And typically I go for a bow. And so I was like, I don't care what class has a bow. That's the one I'm going with. So there are five classes to choose from. You have like a priest, a berserker, the elf, and then there's is long range. And then, there's a mage type character, which is human, oddly enough. I gotta say the priests, by the way, are these little creature people that look like bunnies called Ippins. Cutest goddamn thing ever, but I knew I was gonna start off with a prologue solo and I didn't want to be like, super fragile because it's definitely like your support heal type class. Yeah. And that's the only one you want to pick if you're going to have somebody to cover you.
Yeah.
You can have up to three characters at a time though. So, you know, it can't hurt to have an Ippin class just waiting in the wings for when you got a friend to play with.
You could start off with three. You can buy more character slots. I know
you can. And with the Founders Pack, we got, I think, two, maybe three.
I believe two additional.
Yeah. So, we got some additional backpack slots too. Like I said, the super cool costumes. I had two costumes. My favorite thing that you get with the Founders Pack. Do you want to hear? Do you want to hear? Are you Let's ready? Hear.
Yes.
I have a unicorn mount.
I know, me too.
I have the unicorn. There was the ironclad rhino is badass as well. I will it say is. That. But come on. If you can ride a fucking unicorn as an elf with a bow, fucking aren't you gonna?
Or just, a giant attack gonna? Cat with a big fucking battle axe.
Also an option. Also, or the little bunny. I somehow imagine like the little bunny dudes are super adorable on the unicorns. I was a little sad too in my time playing. I didn't run into anybody playing as the Ippin. I really thought I was gonna like see at least a handful of them out in the world, but it seems like at this point basically everybody took the approach that I did and was like, I just want to survive.
Yeah.
Until we start getting cool shit and actually experiencing the game, maybe let's not be support. which is a shame. I want to set up an Ippin character and play with them. They're so fucking adorable. In case I didn't mention that.
You did.
Bunny ears poke out from under their hair. Ah! Yeah.
Anyway,
best character hands down. You get to customize character, what they look like, what their name is. I had a very Elder Scrolls moment. I was a little pissed. I was like, I'm playing this shit early, and all the names I'm coming up with for my elf are already gone.
Really?
Yeah. Like I figured Cole would be gone. It's pretty quick, but Eternal was gone.
Really?
Yeah, and I was like, excuse me, sirs and madams, taking my fucking name, though. So, I mean, you know, if you give a fuck about getting a name that you want, you might want to get in there kind of quick, because people are being fast as fuck with the names.
Yeah.
And I that's a sore spot for me. I don't like anything. I get it in like a PC game where you don't have like a gamer tag tied to your account and all that. It makes sense to limit what names can be on display. But on like console where people have gamer tags, fucking what's it matter if there are 57 different Eternals running around? You know? Well,
just because this is only on Xbox right now, it is going to be on other platforms later. So they have to have all platforms in mind when they develop stuff
like that. I feel bad for those motherfuckers because they are not getting any names.
No, they aren't.
Those fucking names are gone. The world that they have built is incredibly pretty. I would love to sit here and give you like a rundown of the story, but I always get so confused in these MMOs. Like the, you can tell that they've really thought it out, but basically after an initial fight, you wake up with amnesia and none of it mattered anyway. Your character's still rolling around like, I don't know what the fuck happened. I don't know where I am. I don't know how I got here. There's a bird and I flew on it. And you're like, okay, well, didn't matter that you told me all that fanciful backstory stuff because I lost it anyway. I understand there's something with being an orphan. And you're not supposed to go here and you're not supposed to do that. But the actual world is, it's so full and so alive that it's, you get lost in it. You can't really keep up with all of it. That's probably a personal problem. I know people who like build these insane D&D worlds and like have these complicated characters and I'm just like, it's pretty the cute bow. I don't know. I find it incredibly impressive, but it's not me. But I did enjoy, I had a couple small problems. One of my biggest issues was that, I would run to an event that would further my story. And it would be like a public type of event and other people were participating in it as well. And there were so many people that they would kill the enemy before I even got to see it spawn.
Yeah, I've had that a few times as well. Or there's events where you have to pick up and collect items, but they're shared items. So
And three other people are picking them up too.
Yeah, three people are going to run to a bag at one time and try to pick it up all at the same time. I also ran into an issue where I completed a treasure map and I found a place where treasure spawned. And people just hung out there constantly waiting for the treasure to spawn. Yep. And the fact that it was a shared spawn meant that I could dig it up and someone else could get someone the box, which is what happened to me a few times. I would dig it up. Someone else would come over just out of nowhere and examine the box while I was still doing my like shovel put away animation.
Yeah.
So I wish there was more stuff in this game that was unique to yourself. Like treasure chests would be nice. Like I know the common chests that you find with the bag pieces and, you know, some golden artifact chunks here and there. Those are individual, but it'd be nice if the stuff that spawned would be more unique when it comes to treasure and when it comes to collectibles for quests.
Yeah. Yeah. It was definitely frustrating to like go through the motion of doing something and completing a mission. And then you think you got your item and somebody else got it. There were a few times where like I'd have to go collect something and then I'd be like, oh, I got it. And go back to turn it in and be like, the fuck it go. I didn't have it after all. And that is an annoyance. I guess I've played Sea of Thieves enough to like be like, well, that's a thing that fucking happens when you're in a shared world. But it was definitely more daunting for me anyway to like just completely miss parts of the story because everybody would just descend and murder characters before you even got to see the cutscene or anything. It'd be like, well, there. I remember I was sitting there and I was like, Wolf King spawns, and I'm like, okay, cool, I'm right here. Oh.
Yeah, getting that Wolf King at the very beginning is that's a tough one to actually get because of how quick they die.
Yeah, and then there's like 75 people standing there, and you're like, kudos to being able to create a world with a server like this and it's holding on. That's great. But get out of my fucking game. And the prologue is supposed to be single player anyway. And then there's just all these people killing your shit.
Well, that's after the prologue. When you wake
up, that's... It's not after enough for me to be okay with it, though.
The prologue is just that section at the original village where you run through and, like, the place that gets attacked. That's the prologue.
The moment there were other people in the game, like, my anxiety spiked, and I was like, this is tough.
Well, as you get further into it, you see things aren't as populated.
Yeah.
As the very, very beginning.
Well, because other people haven't made it that far out yet.
Yeah.
And, like, the further out you go into the game, the more freedom you have. But, I mean, it's only a matter of time where they're staggering the release, which I think, by the way, is a great way to test server loads.
Mm-hmm.
It's a really smart idea, honestly, to feather it out like that. And rather than just being like, hey, it's free, here's today, crash! Well, yeah. Fuck. You know, so it was a good way to go about it. But I feel like it's just going to get worse instead of better as far as like crowding goes, at least at this point. Like 6 months from now, probably not. But at this point, you're just like, one thing that would be nice too, because it is so fucking crowded, is if you could like set down the opacity of other players' names. I walked around in a circle for so long looking for one dude, and I just couldn't see him among all the names. So, like, if you could turn down the opacity and make player names less, you know, opaque and a little more transparent so you could see through them, that'd be good. It's a nitpick. I get it. I know. This is a big undertaking as a game, and I can appreciate it, but I don't want to see... Dank Weed Killer 420XXXXX when I'm looking for Marco. Personally. How did you feel, Joe?
I'm really having fun with the game. I'm level 14 right now. I have been dumping a lot of time into the game. I love all of the open world quests and all the open world events where you can like, you know, find the random spawns of like these mega bosses that spawn around the map and, you know, there's you and a dozen other people all ganging up and taking them down at the same time. It's just such a really cool, fun experience. I have not delved into any of the dungeons yet. I wanted to wait until you're higher level and we could do them together.
Yeah.
I want to partner up with you and party up and do some of this game together with someone else, which is the point in an MMO. So hopefully for next week, we could talk more about the co-op experience. But as it stands right now, this is available minimum $20 for a founder's pack that lets you play it right now. It is available to play right now with any of the founder's packs. Do you think it's worth dropping the money for a founder's pack? Wait until it releases on the 12th. What are your thoughts on this?
It's worth it for the Founders Pack just to get the motherfucking unicorn mount. Although I do want to throw out there, I have one problem with the mounts. I get that there's a stamina drain on running as your character because they want to encourage you to use a mount, but the stamina drain on a mount is just bullshit.
Well, that's just for sprinting.
It's still bullshit. Let me run free. Created a big ass world. Don't make me be slow. That's personal gripe.
All right. Yeah, I enjoyed it. I think it's definitely worth checking out. If you're worried about dropping any money on it right now, know that the microtransactions in the game, it's all like cosmetic stuff, like weapon skins and character costume skins and mounts. You're going to find some stuff like experience boosters and things like that. But it's from what I could see, it's not a pay to win. It's not like you drop $100 and you get a sword that kills everything immediately. Like, you're still going to have to work and play the game. You can't just buy yourself a win.
But the red bow looks badass.
It does.
You should buy it.
One other minor gripe I had, I wanted to mention quick. I started a second character, cause I wanted to test out a ranger, and you don't get any of the bonuses.
Oh, really?
From the Founders Pack. Like the Crimson Weapon set and all the mounts and stuff like that. You only get them for your first character, which I thought was a bummer.
Yeah. Damn.
Yeah.
That is disappointing.
Anyway, next game to talk about is called Two Point Hospital, developed by Two Point Studios, published by Sega, released January 25th on Xbox One, PS4, and Switch for $39.99. Also launched direct to Xbox Game Pass. Build, cure, and improve, design stunning hospitals, decorate them as you like, carry very unusual illnesses, and manage troublesome staff as you spread your budding healthcare organization across Two Point County. Cole, tell us about this game. I know you've been addicted to it. You're probably still playing it now, aren't you?
Maybe. So, yeah, I fucking love Two Point Hospital. Put that on your box right there. So this is a micromanagement simulator. But instead of micromanaging a town or a household, you're managing a hospital. It is extremely quirky, though, and not in any way meant to be taken overly seriously. All of the characters look like they're from Wallace and Gromit. That's all I can think of every time I see it. I'm like, how are you not getting sued by them for that character model? That is a Wallace and Gromit character if I've ever seen it. Anyway, like half the audience is too young to know that, what Wallace and Gromit even is. That's depressing.
Sean anyway, the Sheep, maybe?
Yeah, Sean the Sheep. The farmer and Sean the Sheep is basically everybody in Two Point Hospital. So you get to start off with like the most basic little hospital of absolutely nothingness ever. You can do jack shit with it except for put in a reception desk and a general practitioner's office. You have to hire your staff. You need nurses to manage certain rooms. Like the triage type rooms can only be run by a nurse. General practitioner's offices can only be run by a doctor, obviously. Psychiatry units can only be run by a doctor with a psychiatry trait. So you have to make sure that you're putting doctors and nurses and staff in areas where you're utilizing their traits and skills the most to have the best chance of being able to save your patients. Now, when you think of a hospital simulator, you're going to be like, oh, fuck, that's depressing. I'm going to watch people die of cancer. And I'm very happy to report nobody has cancer in Two Point Hospital. All of the diseases are super quirky, goofy takes on things. For example, lightheadedness. Literally, it has patients come in without a head. Instead, they have a light bulb.
Yeah.
And in order to save them, what is the name of that room? I'm actually going to look it up because I want to be right with it. The room is called a deluxe clinic. D-E-L-U-X. So, and literally they go in, they sit in the chair and like it screws off the light bulb and it pops a new head on them. And then they walk out and they survive. They're fine. Yay. They're cured of lightheadedness.
So Carnage wrote the game.
Basically, there is one condition called gray anatomy. And literally, they come in and they're gray. They're gray. Black and white, head to toe, gray. If they get diagnosed with gray anatomy, then they have to go to the color, to the chromotherapy.
Oh,
and then
shit.
You have a color. I see that.
Dark Elder just dropped 500 biddies in chat. George?
Oh, dropping bits!
Oh, wow. Thank you so much. It is very much appreciated. Thank you, Dark Elder.
I think it's Dark Cider.
Dark Cider. I thought it was Dark Elder. The eye looks like an L.
Yeah.
Oh, Dark Cider.
They got
you. Thank you very much for the biddies. Thank you for following. Welcome. I hope you enjoy your stay here. And again, thank you for the biddies. Much appreciated. So what were you saying about Two Point Hospital?
So if you diagnose somebody with gray anatomy, then you have to send them for chromotherapy.
Oh, God damn it.
And they go into a colorizer, and then they get color added to them, and they get the leaf, and then they're fine again. It's just over the top. Everything is ridiculous like that. I'm trying to think off the top of my head what some of the other ones are. Oh, well, you can diagnose them with mock star.
With what?
And mock star. And it's where they think they're rock stars.
This game seems so groan worthy.
It's so ridiculous that you can't help but love it. And you have to like admit that there's some serious creativity going on.
Oh yeah.
The clowns, you have to put them in the dehumidifier. Like a dehumidifier, but it's a dehumidifier.
Okay, we need to talk about more about this game because the more diseases you tell me about, I'm just going to get mad.
It just keeps going. You have to, like I said, you have a basic hospital shape, like your external walls, and then you build each office inside those walls, and you can arrange them any way you want to. You want to try to build them in such a way that you're making the most of the space you have, and you can cram in as many offices as possible, but they have certain requirements. A GP's office needs to be 3 squares by 3 squares, for example. Same for the pharmacy, and the pharmacy might need to be 3 by 4. No, it's 3 by 3. I'm sorry. But there are some that obviously need to be larger depending on the machines that you have to put in them. Psychiatry is 3 by 3. Bathrooms, you need to put in food, like snack machines. Your patients can get bored. They'll get annoyed and they'll leave. You have to determine how much you're going to pay your staff. You need to consider how that's going to affect your revenue and if you can pay your bills every month. Once a year, there's an award ceremony where you can get awards for being the best teaching hospital. If you have a training room and you can teach your staff new skills, then that's something that you can get an award for. If you have a nurse who is doing incredibly well and hasn't killed anybody, then that's great. Then you might get a reward for that. You need to have, janitors who have ghost busting abilities, because if somebody dies in the hospital, they may come back as a ghost. Not everybody who dies comes back as a ghost, but some of them will. Like, you may see everybody running around, like, absolutely panicking, and you realize that there's a ghost, and, like, your janitors are sitting in the break room eating pretzel snacks and watching the TV, and you're like, no, motherfucker, get out there and bust some ghosts.
Oh, my Lord.
It's absolutely over the top. It's comedic. It's cartoonish. And I am so in love with it. It plays incredibly well. I haven't had any issues with frames. I haven't had any issues with it being sluggish. The controls are very well suited to controller. I've played it both on the Xbox and on PC because it's on Game Pass for both.
Nice.
They have separate achievement lists for those achievement horse who want to stack, although it is a grind for achievements, and it's something that you're going to have to just like commit to putting time into.
Mm.
But it's worth it.
Well, then for $40 on this one, what do you think?
Absolutely buy this game. I have every intention of buying it both on PC and on Xbox to keep, because if it ever leaves Game Pass, I'm going to be heartbroken.
Yeah, it seems like you really enjoyed this one. I might have to get Ashley to try this one.
Yeah, I think she'll get a kick out of it.
Especially being a nurse, I think she might enjoy that one. Yeah. So I'll have to bug her to try that one out. Next game to talk about is
Just 1 second.
Okay.
Back up. D had to go get number one, and he just texted me that they're coming up the road. So I'm going to mute while they come in real quick. And I was like, I couldn't do that smoothly. But
well, good thing I have to read a review, because the next game to talk about is called Kimono Heroes, developed by Mad Gear Games, published by NIS America, released February 27th on the Switch for $14.99. When the Mood God turns the inhabitants of the forest to stone, four animal ninja masters must fight their way out to Mount Fuji and break his spell. Use swift moves, an arsenal of tools, and each master's unique abilities to save your home. Certainly not covered this one, wrote in a review, and this is what she's got to say. And fun fact, she actually got this game at my house while she was hanging out this past weekend. So there you go. I have friends in real life. Suck it. She says, hey, SML Podcast, it's me, Serlina, and this week I'm reviewing Kimono Heroes on the Nintendo Switch and developed by Mad Gear Games. Kimono Heroes is a return to 2D platforming of old, and you have the opportunity to play as four different heroes as they go on a quest to save their homeland from what appears to be a possessed moon turning all the inhabitants into stone. Let's hop into the review. When you start your new game, you get to choose one of four heroes, and each of the four heroes has a different power. You have Futamaru, the fox hero who can transform into enemies and use their powers. Next is Hanako, the squirrel hero who can glide. Then you have Miyuki, the cat hero who can climb walls. And then finally, Yu, the monkey hero who can climb ropes. You can use these powers in a variety of ways to get through the levels and also find goodies that can only be accessed by certain characters. For example, I played as Cat Hero and was able to find two extra lives simply because she could climb a wall. One pleasant surprise I found is that this game supports local co-op, so split your Joy-Cons and you can play with a friend. The game has pretty much everything that you would expect from your typical old-school platformer. There's no tutorial, so you have to figure out how to use your arsenal. The sword swipe is Y, your kunai is A, and you jump with B. You can double jump immediately, which is nice, and you can use your ninpo magic with X. You also have a slide with L, and you can unhook or unlock hooks, which allow you to grab ledges with R. Finally, you can get bombs and use ZR to swap it out with your kunai at will. Your bombs and kunai are unlimited, so go nuts. Once I figured all that out, because the game doesn't tell you how to use anything except hooks and bombs, I was good to go. I did manage to defeat the first boss using only the kunai, which is pretty funny. That should be an achievement. Defeat the game using only kunai. Moving right along, I wouldn't say Kimono Heroes is hard, but it is a bit tedious. Once you advance your screen, you can't go back. This is super annoying when you're trying to get a chest, and when you move a millimeter too far and you lock yourself out. Also, the rate at which the enemies come at you is insane. I played on normal, and they were literally falling out of the sky nonstop. Plus, on the first level, I'm playing with kunai only, so it definitely had me in my feels. One thing I enjoyed was if you fall in a gap, you don't die immediately, but you do lose some health, which is cool. At the end of every second level, you do have gain access to a store where you can upgrade your weapons, buy back some health, and even some extra lives. If you do lose all of your lives, the game does have continues, but you also have to do a mad dash for your coins, which get tossed up Sonic style, and have to get them all back before you're placed back in the world. Art design-wise, Kimono Heroes is pleasant to look at. The world is Asian-inspired, so the designs are in line with that. The music didn't do it for me, though. It's there, but it's ambient and wasn't noticeable. The bosses weren't particularly interesting either. They all had their patterns. Only the third boss managed to surprise me. By the by, this game is pretty short. You can finish it in just a couple of hours. The life of the game is extended with the fact that you can play as the other characters and grind to finish out the achievements. By the time I was done, I already had most of them, and the others didn't hold much appeal for me. Kimono Heroes is available on the Nintendo Switch for $14.99, and should you buy this game? I honestly can't recommend to buy it for this game. I would say try it if you're looking for a platformer on your Switch. I wouldn't say this is a bad game by any means, but by the end of it all, I shrugged my shoulders and said, I guess I need a little bit more than that in a gaming experience. All right, sounds pretty decent. I don't know, it looked interesting. I might give this one a go. I don't know if you're back yet or not, but I'm going to go with no.
For the best breakfast this side of Lake Michigan, come on down to Joe Cam's Pancake House, right in the heart of Milwaukee. Biscuits and gravy for miles, deep pocket buttered waffles, and all the pancakes you can guzzle down. Serving breakfast all day, 7 days a week.
You good to go?
Yeah.
Next game to talk about is called Ib and Ob, developed and published by Sparpweed, which is an amazing company name. It released March 5th on the Switch for $14.99. Ib and Ob is a two-player cooperative game set in a puzzle-filled world where gravity goes both up and down. You can only succeed by working closely together. Cole, tell us about Ib and Ob.
Ib and Ob is a super simple concept for a game, but its puzzle elements make it a lot more difficult than you would expect. I think it's a great puzzle game, though. As far as like a puzzle platformer goes, it's a really good one for younger kids who don't typically play these kind of games. They don't have that kind of experience. That's why the Switch is a pretty good home for it too. It's definitely suitable for a younger crowd. I know playing it with number one, we kind of had the "this is too easy" vibe quite a bit. But also her and I both are pretty hardcore platformer players.
Funny, so when we played together, it didn't seem too easy. Are you calling me a moron?
Does that sound believable?
If the shoe fits.
I mean, there's moments. It was funny because even though I say that it was super easy, there was one point, like, if I just stopped and, like, looked at a puzzle for a few seconds, I'd be like, oh, yeah, I get it now. But there was one time where, like, number one, we'd been playing for a while, and she was getting a little restless and, like, kind of tired of me going, stop so I can figure this out. And she decided she was, like, going to start bouncing through the gravity portals, right? Well, she was doing it to a point that it was moving the screen away from the puzzle, because you can get pretty far from each other without any issue as long as you don't hit an enemy type. Like, you're pretty good.
Yeah.
And so I was like, I kept going, number one, cut it out, I can't see the puzzle while you're doing that. And she kept doing it, and number one. And then I took a hairbrush and I whacked it on top of the head and I said, child, I will leave you at the fire station if you don't stop. And then I solved the puzzle and we carried on like nothing happened. It was swell.
Oh, Lord.
So it's not even that it's difficult, but if you're playing with somebody who's like horribly impatient and doesn't want to wait and just like wants to fumble through a puzzle, you might murder them. It gets a little rough. Love my child. I did not leave her at the fire station, for the record. She's too old for that. I just heard her laugh from the other room. So the way that most of the puzzles work, you have one green character, one pink character. I don't know which is which. In the title, I think Ib is pink and Ob is green, isn't it?
I don't remember which was which.
So I'm pretty sure that's correct. And if I'm wrong, well, fucking nobody else has played it on here yet to tell me. So deal with it. I forgot what I was even trying to say. Sometimes the world is basically split into two. And then you can go through portals. This is harder to describe than I thought. You can go through like these portals to basically invert gravity so that you're both walking on the line in the middle, but one's on top, one's on the bottom, or you can both go through and everybody be on the bottom, everybody on top, whatever. Whatever floats your Ib and Ob. sometimes though the portals are, you know, pink or green, and so only the corresponding player can go through it. And that's where the puzzle elements really come in. You have to think about, okay, somebody has to be launched up to the next platform while somebody goes underneath and clears out the enemies. And then the person that's on top has to go through and collect the gems so that you have a reason for doing this, I guess. There's no achievements because it's on Switch. And so I was like, nah, fuck it, gems. I wasn't attached to them. I know there's Switch completion horse. Root Beer somewhere is like shaking in his boots going, God damn it, Cole. You don't need achievements for everything, but I do. So I wasn't inclined to worry about whether or not I had got all the sparklies for every level. that's fine. Number one, she was a little more like, get this broccoli. I'm like, I don't care. I just want to see if I can solve the puzzles. You find her happy where you can. It's, again, it's deceptively simple, though. Like, you think, okay, well, you go through the portal and that's fine. But as you continue to progress, they start to introduce some really interesting mechanics for how to get through the platforms. One of my favorite mechanics that they add in is, like, there's these launch pads, and you can't jump when you're standing on a launch pad. The other character has to go to the other side of it and jump onto it to launch you up or down, as the case may be. And so the bigger the height difference for your jump before you hit that pad is how high the other person is going to launch. You have to get really creative to get some of those jumps. And some of them are super difficult. We played a portion earlier together where you jumped off of your platform, launched my character up from the platform, and I had to arch over, and by the time I hit the other platform, you also needed to be on another platform to get launched down.
Yep.
So it made like a you know, oversized S-curve, if you will, once you did it properly. But it required a lot of timing, and you look at it and you go, okay, well, that's not too bad. You just got to be on the platform. But then you're like, no, motherfucker, you got to time that. You have to think about how fast you're moving. And it can get a little tough. If you don't have built-in co-op like I do, then you're not out of luck. Like I said, we were able to play online.
Yes, of all the games, very good the game has online.
Of all the indie games to have online, this one.
Okay, that's awesome, then. Too.
Yeah, I'm not mad. I think that more should have it. But it was really nice to be able to, like, I had never added anybody as a friend on the Switch. I don't ever play on the Switch. It's for the kids, and that's one of the reasons I wanted this game. And I will say, number one and number two played together, and if I'm not mistaken, number one played with number three as well. Did you play with your sister on Ibnob? Oh, okay. So she just played with number two. I lie. Mm. Thanks for making a liar out of me, number one. Go to bed. but she, you know, they were able to play it together, and it was really nice to hear them in the room playing it, and you could hear them, like, talking out the puzzles and giggling over it and just having a really good time. It was nice to see those two playing something that wasn't Minecraft. So,
well, then overall, $15 on Ibnob. What are you thinking?
I think it's a good price for it. I think it suits it, and I'm okay with that. Yeah, I give it a buy it.
Awesome. Yeah, I had fun with it too. I obviously can't, you know, get into it nearly as much as you did since I didn't have anyone to play with besides you. But yeah, I had fun with it. I thought it was pretty cool. It was adorable.
Yeah. It's so simple, but it really does mess with your head to figure out the way through some of those puzzles.
Gravity bending games always mess with me. Like, I am terrible at anything with gravity in games because it screws with me so much.
I'm surprised you didn't get motion sick.
Nah, it's just first person games.
No, there was something we played not too long ago that was third person. I don't remember what it was, though. And you were like, I got motion sick.
Well, 2D games, I've never gotten motion sick.
Give it time.
Yeah, true. Anyway, final game to talk about tonight is called Grisland, developed by Ivan Zloban, published by East Asia Soft. It released February 26th on Xbox One, Switch, and PS4 for $4.99. Welcome to the Grizzled Planet, a seamless open-world platformer presented in retro style and filled with old-school challenges. Explore without pointers to uncover secret areas, equip yourself with unique items and skills, and even the ability to shrink and enlarge or explode and recombine. Only through self-discovery will you overcome the enemy dinos and an epic combat and find the truth in Grisland. Cole, tell us about Grisland.
There were dinos in this game?
Or dinos. It just says D-I-N-O-S.
Oh. I had no idea what they were. And I'll explain to you why I have no idea what they were. The entire game is black and white and also like 8-bit.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to go ahead and put it out there. We all know how much I really fucking hate 16-bit games. And yet, somehow, I played Grisland to completion without a guide. And I was just like, here I am. I'm kicking ass. For all intents and purposes, it was the kind of game that I should have just been like super pissy about even playing at all. Because I don't like the 8-bit look. I don't like 16-bit look. I can handle monochrome. I can handle grayscale. But if I can't tell like the difference between your background and your foreground, then I'm cranky. Somehow though, with such a limited palette and such limited detail, they did a really good job with Grisland. I think it was super cool to play. I enjoyed going through it. I enjoyed looking at everything. They're not bullshitting when they tell you that there's limited like tutorials and stuff. It doesn't tell you jack shit. I had to back all the way out to the beginning and look for a controller scheme. I don't think I found one either. I think I was just like hopelessly pushing buttons until I figured out what I could do. Each of your abilities are scattered on the different levels. You need to go around and collect jars of water and use that water to water the trees so that you can be propelled to the next level. You'll have to overcome bosses that will have you testing out your different abilities as you get them. And overall, it's just a really solid, simple puzzle platformer. There was one boss sequence that I was like about to murder somebody over. It was so ungodly difficult. So it was just so overwhelmingly difficult that I was like, I had to shut it off and just come back to it later. I went and played 2-bit hospital. That's what I did. I played 2-point hospital and then I went back and finished Grisland after I calmed down because I couldn't figure out what to do over that stupid boss.
Of course you played 2-point hospital.
I had to calm down. I had to go cure some lightheadedness, bust some ghosts because I fucked up and let some people die. It was minor. It's fine. Everything's fine. But yeah, I, for all intents and purposes, this is not a game I should have enjoyed. And yet I felt really satisfied when I completed it. I was like, fuck yeah, I did it. I did it by myself. I'm a superstar. I will have to say you can complete the game without actually beating the final boss though. But if you've gone so far as to complete the game, you're basically at the boss anyway.
So you might as well
just do it. And then just like have that satisfaction that you did it. It's like, you already come this far. Fuck it. What's a few more hits?
Yeah. Well, then for $5 on Grisland, what do you think?
I normally would be like, yeah, fuck it. Why not? But it was solid enough that I'm okay with a full on buy it.
Nice.
Yeah. I enjoyed it. I did not think I would. I should not have, but I did.
And as of us recording this, there's still a couple more days that it's only $3.99 instead of $4.99. So grab it while it's on sale.
That is beyond fuck it, why not territory. That is you a dumb if you don't territory. Don't be a dumb.
Yeah, pretty much. But all right, that is it for this episode. Thanks again to Aki for being here and chatting with us and hanging out, keeping us company. And playing Yakuza and Yazooka.
No, she played Yazooka. She played Yazooka. A different game than I did.
Yazooka Zero. Oh, man. Cole, do you have any final words to end the show?
No, I'm going to go play 2-Point Hospital, though.
Shocking.